Go to the self-help section of any bookstore or scroll through the documentary section of Netflix, and there are dozens of titles linked to happiness. There are a lot of different ideas on what the path to happiness is, and Lake Effect essayist Carrie Carlson has studied many of them, but she says she's only an expert on her own efforts.
Last October, my granddaughter Lily tagged me with the latest teeny bopper Instagram fad. Because I was tagged, my task was to post a daily photo with the hashtag 100 happy days for that number of consecutive days. It took me back to my student days at UW-Madison, when my friends and I used to sneak bottles of Mogan David wine into the dorm and get mildly buzzed as we attempted to decode the ultimate meanings of our young lives. During those wine-fueled nights, I discovered hedonism, defined, according to Webster.com, as a belief that pleasure or happiness is the most important goal of our lives. At 20, I glommed onto that idea and held it tight. My friends and I understood pleasure, but how to find happiness led to hours of philosophical discourse. We explored the writings of Albert Camus in The Myth of Sisyphus and his idea that the quest for happiness is our existential duty. He wrote, "All too often, we know we are happy only when we no longer are." We explored René Descartes and his idea that we must find happiness within ourselves and not compare ourselves with others. In his words, "Except in our own thoughts, there is nothing absolute in our power." So, here I am, half a century later, challenged by a 12-year-old to revisit the metaphysics of my youth. I'm a happy person. I smile a lot, wear rose-colored glasses most of the time. When it's necessary, I bury everything from the neck up in the sand. On a scale of 100, I'm at least a 95, but I don't know why. Maybe the challenge will beam some light on the age-old question of where to find the magic key to a happy, well-lived life. For some inspiration, I return to Gretchen Rubin's book, The Happiness Project. She reminds me that winning the lottery won't guarantee eternal bliss, but on the other hand, it might buy me a garage for my car. There are pluses to street parking, so on day 5, I post a photo of my car in the street, in the rain, and write, "Free car wash." The first snow in November leads to 3 happy day posts. I had adopted a doppelganger, a small doll, because unlike the teeny boppers who post selfies all over their happy days, my wrinkled face will remain out of sight. An artist friend made this 6-inch replica of me. She has an uneven haircut, wears 2 large earrings that don't match, and has a strange, clunky necklace hanging on an unstylish shirt. Since Rubin wrote of mindfulness and being present in the moment, on day 10, I photographed patterns of snow on a table in my yard and called it art. On day 11, I set the doppelganger on my sled, the Green Hornet, and wrote, "Time to play." And on day 12, I set her on a bird feeder in the snow and labeled the photo beauty. Because I need to put something happy out there every morning, I find myself paying close attention to minuscule everyday details and discover some surprises. I had never considered my daily struggles with a ukulele anything but a source of frustration. But in Rubin's book, a challenge is a vital deposit in the happiness bank. On day 56, I post a photo of the uke with the caption, "Time to practice." There's no doubt that back at UW-Madison, those philosophical discussions about the meaning of life did not include the pleasure of a delicious meal shared with a friend, day 75, or dark chocolate savored on a bench by Lake Michigan, day 48. Or standing for 2 hours at a rock concert, day 32. Now the 12-year-olds are on to the next challenge. 300 comments and I'll put my face in a bowl of flour. I'll take a pass on that one. Looking for that special moment every morning and finding a way to record it visually for 100 days turned out to be a fine exercise in thinking outside the proverbial box. I find myself surrounded by joy. My first morning coffee, a weekly lunch with a writer friend, a small dish of chocolate caramel ice cream after dinner, a brisk walk by Lake Michigan on a misty morning. It's a matter of paying attention. This means no excuses. The next day I need a deposit in the happiness bank, I'll watch the robin in my yard collect twigs as she constructs her nest in the pine tree outside my window. Lily finished her 100 happy days, shed a tear on day 100, wrote, "Life is an adventure waiting to happen," closed the book, and moved on.
Lake Effect essayist Carrie Carlson is a freelance writer, outdoor guide in the West and overseas, and a former environmental educator. She lives in Milwaukee.